ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7 as we continue our study through the book of Joshua. And we're going to look at victorious Christian living. We've been doing that since we began this book, and we're going to see this morning something interesting, that defeats happen in our lives, and the reason why they happen, because we do experience defeats, but why? And remember that the children of Israel, they're in the promised land, the land of Canaan. This is what God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promise has come to pass. If you go back to Joshua chapter 1 and look at verses 2 through 6, Moses has passed off the scene now. And Joshua is taking over, and we're told, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. God gave them the land, but they were going to have to walk into that land by faith, and they were going to have to do battle with the enemies that were in the land. And again, this is a walk of faith on their part. They had to trust in the promises of God. They had to live what they said they believed. Not an easy thing to do, but they did walk by faith. They had to cross over the flooded Jordan River by faith, obeying the word of God. If you look at Joshua 3, verses 14 through 17, where we're told, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Saratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Now they're in the land, but the battles haven't begun yet. And the first enemy, think about this, the first enemy they're going to face is Jericho. A fortified city, not an easy city to take. You would think, give me something small, something easy, you know? And then the battle plans. I mean, these are the battle plans that God told Joshua. Joshua had to tell the priests, the soldiers, the people, you know, walk around the city for 6 days. Once around the city each day, priests blow their trumpets, go back to camp. Don't say a word. On the seventh day, walk around seven times, priests blow their trumpets, shout, and the walls will fall down. Are you kidding me, right? That's the battle plan? It's crazy. And you think, why in the world would God give them such a battle plan like that? God knows exactly what he's doing, guys. Think about what he's saying to them. He's saying, I want to show you from this initial battle against the strongest of the enemies, all that this enemy is going to throw at you, I don't need you at all for this victory. The issue is not your determination. It's not your human effort. It's not your ingenuity. The issue is my power, and you're having faith in me. And isn't that how that goes for us each and every day? It's not how smart we are, our ingenuity, our plans. It's what God has for us. And are we willing to listen and obey? You see, they saw the power of God give them this victory, and it would strengthen their faith for the future battles that they were going to encounter. And the next battle that they face are the people of Ai. It literally means heap or ruin. We're going to go battle against this ruin place. It's small. It doesn't have fortified walls around it. This will be easy to take. It's about 10 miles northwest of Jericho. But by defeating this small city, it's important. The children of Israel would have control of the ridge route that ran north to south along the central highlands. That was a strategic location for them to take as they were going to take the land of Canaan. But again, victory over Jericho, how impressive was that? The walls come falling outward. Children of Israel go in, they wipe everyone out. And now they got this little battle. And you know what can happen after we have a big victory? A false sense of security. You know, I've done that in races. Started a race. Man, I'm running in a race. I did great in this race. And the next one I don't take as seriously. And I fail miserably. And that's what the children of Israel are doing. They were secure in that battle. Look at, man, we got the victory. This was easy. Ai, piece of cake. It's a heap. It's a ruin. How hard could this be? I don't think I'm ruining the story for you, but Ai is their only defeat in the land of Canaan. 7 years conquesting this land, taking it over. Only loss was the battle of Ai. Why? And that's going to be our focus really this morning. I call this message, but, simple message. And that's how chapter 7 opens up. And as we've seen over the last several weeks at destroying fortresses, we have to be obedient to God's instruction. We have to keep ourselves from accursed things. And if we do, we will see the victory that the Lord has for us. And if we don't, we'll see the defeat. And that's what we see here in this battle against Ai. We have to follow the Lord. You know, think about it. You know, when our kids were young and we went to a crowded shopping mall or maybe a Christian concert where there's just tons of people, they couldn't see where they're going. They were small. What did they do? They held on to our hands. They followed us. They trusted us. And that's what we do with the Lord, right? We can't always see where we're going. We can't see the end result of everything that we're going through. So we take the Lord's hand, in a sense, and we follow him, and he leads us to the place that we need to go. But we have to follow. And if we don't, we face those defeats in our lives. And it's not for our destruction, it's for our learning, it's for our growing, our restoration. God has what's best for us, but you know, if we refuse to listen, he will allow us to go down that path that's not good. And when we reach that point where it's a mess, we can turn around and grab hold of his hand and follow him once again. And see the victory that God has for us. Now, I've broken these verses here in Joshua chapter 7 down into these main points. The first one is disobedience in Joshua 7:1. The battle plans in Joshua 7 verses 2 through 3. The defeat at Ai in Joshua 7, 4 through 5. And the blame game in Joshua 7 verses 6 through 9. So let's pick up Joshua chapter 7 starting in verse 1. And let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we study his word. We're told, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. When we see a chapter open up with the word but, it's usually not a good thing. It's probably true in our own lives. I mean, think about this. When our kids were young, growing up, you would tell them to do something. And what would their response be sometimes? But I don't want to. But I've got other things to do. But, right? They didn't want to do what you were asking. And that's what's going on here. God instructed them not to take the accursed things, to stay away from them. And as we're going to see in a minute, Achan said, but. And that's never a good thing. He took some of the spoils of their victory in Jericho. When Joshua told him back in Joshua 6, verses 18 and 19, and you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. In other words, in this first battle against Jericho, all the spoils of victory, the first fruits, belonged to the Lord, not to Achan, not to the children of Israel. And yet Achan, by his actions, was stealing from the Lord. It's kind of interesting. The name Achan means trouble. And if they didn't watch out for trouble, then they would bring upon the camp of Israel trouble. And we don't have to guess how the Lord felt about this disobedience. The anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. He was angry with them. You think, well, what about Achan? It was his fault. He did it. Why everyone else? Achan was responsible for his actions, and he's going to be held accountable. But as we've said so many times before, sin not only affects the person involved in sin, it affects their family, their friends, believers and unbelievers alike. And here we clearly see the sin of Achan would affect the entire nation. And again, we see that in our lives. I mean, you look at alcoholism, adultery, drug abuse, and so on. It does affect the one doing it, absolutely. But it reaches farther than that. It touches family and friends, and it's destructive, and it can be deadly. You know, some of you may remember the play The Music Man. I'm dating myself. You know, the song You Got Trouble. It was kind of funny. Julie and I were watching Wheel of Fortune, and it was 80s TV shows on there. Digressing a little bit. But anyway, the puzzle was WRP in Cincinnati. Oh, that's easy, man. Every letter is up there but the one. Warp in Cincinnati. Warp in Cincinnati? They were all young people. They had no clue it was WKRP in Cincinnati. I'm like, oh my gosh, Julie, we are old. We knew that one. But anyway, the Music Man, and I'm just going to share a little bit from one of the songs that Harold sings. He says, well, either you're closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you're not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. You got trouble, my friend, right here. I say trouble right here in River City. And a few lines down, the people sing back, trouble, we got trouble, right here in River City, with a capital T that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool, that stands for pool. We've got trouble, right here in River City, right here. Got to figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school. Trouble, 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 trouble. Things have gotten a little worse if it was a pool table that caused trouble back then, right? Wow, that was 1957, though, a few years back. But sin is sin, and if you go down that path, death and destruction come upon your life, not might. And people laugh at that. Oh, come on, you're ridiculous. Well, sin is like cancer, and it will finally eat away at your life and destroy it. I've told you so many times, I worked in a hospital for some 30 years. I've seen how drugs and alcohol destroy people's lives, and they don't even realize it. They will be as yellow as a banana, and they will look in my face and they'll say, I don't have a problem with alcohol. I can stop anytime I want. You're dying, and you can't stop. It's destroying you. And that's sin, like a cancer. It eats away. We have to be wise. We need to be careful because trouble is out there, and it will destroy you. You know, Achan knew what Joshua said. Achan knew what the Lord required here. Now, could taking these accursed things help him and his family? Sure, from a human perspective, absolutely. But that prosperity, you might say, is going to be short-lived. It never lasts because the excitement of sin is not lasting. The joy of the Lord is. And that's really how Satan works, you know? You know how Satan does things? He whispers in your ear. You know, you're not really cheating the government from your taxes. It's your money in the first place. And they're going to spend it foolishly. And, don't tell the truth on your taxes. And you're getting money back that's yours anyway. So what's the big difference? You could lie. It's your money, not theirs. And we justify our sin all the time. And we're open to Satan whispering in our ear when it benefits us. But then you're caught. You're either going to have to pay back a large sum of money to the government or you're going to go to jail. And Satan whispers in your ear, I thought you were a Christian. Wait a minute, you're the one who told me to do this. Huh? You're a Christian? Really? That wasn't a real Christian thing to do, was it? You lied to the government, you cheated them. And you're a Christian? I don't think so. Isn't that interesting? Again, the very thing that Satan tempts us with and we take a bite is the very thing he condemns us with. Be careful. And here's a phrase that you're going to remember this morning. Trouble is out there. It's all over. Now, is this thing only going to affect you? No. If you have to go to jail, what about your wife, your children? What about your unsaved family and friends? What are they going to think when this happens? You see, your sin will affect many people, and it will give the enemies of God a chance to mock the God you say you love and serve. You have to be careful. You have to be wise. Why? Trouble is out there, okay? And make no mistake about it. What Satan used in the Garden of Eden, that ploy, that plan, he uses today. It's no different. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's what John talked about, not loving the world or the things in the world. That's what Satan tempted Achan with. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And he took a bite of that. He got hooked. In fact, Joshua 7:21, as Achan confesses what he had done, it says, "When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it." He saw they were beautiful, lust of the flesh. He saw with his eyes, you know, this beauty, lust of the eyes. He took them, pride of life. One writer put it like this. He said, completely convinced that his deliberate disobedience was morally justified, Achan smiled softly to himself. His future was totally assured. This was a secret store of wealth that would stand him in good stead. Little did he know it would soon see him dead. You know, God does warn us. He tries to direct our lives, but then we have to listen to him. God never forces us. James said in James chapter 1, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. Then when his desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." God doesn't tempt us to sin. He does test our faith, but he doesn't tempt us. Satan tempts us. And who are we going to listen to? You know, it's interesting, the Canaanites couldn't defeat the children of Israel, but the children of Israel could defeat themselves by quenching the work of the Holy Spirit, by quenching the work of God in their lives. And they're going to alienate themselves from God's plan and God's power. And that's true in our own lives as we face different battles. We're defeated only when we turn from God. Disobedience is the first one. Be careful, be wise. Why? Trouble is out there. Look at verse 2 of Joshua 7. "Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, 'Go up and spy out the country.' So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few.'" I've called these verses battle plans, and that may not be really correct. You may get the wrong idea. It's probably self-confidence would be a better title. Battle plans and self-confidence together. The children of Israel, remember, just defeated Jericho. Great victory. On the heels of this great victory, a lot of pride, a lot of self-confidence. How do I know? We see Joshua send out spies to check out Ai. It's very small compared to Jericho. Easy battle. They told Joshua, "Hey, look, don't bother sending all the men, just a few." Why weary everyone when this battle is an easy battle? In fact, that's what they said in Joshua 7:3. You know, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." You know, when they fought Jericho, God went to great lengths to show them that it wasn't their battle plans that gave them the victory at Jericho. God was the one that gave them the victory. But they didn't trust in the Lord here. Not at all. You know, Jericho marching around the city, shouting for the walls to come down, and they do. That's the battle plan. And here's Ai. Easy to defeat. Self-confident. And that's a problem for us. You know, we get a great victory, something really is amazing happens in our lives, and we get very self-confident. And it doesn't take much for us to start taking credit for that victory. Prideful, thinking we're spiritual. And remember what we're told in Proverbs 16, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. God's warning us of this danger, self-confidence, because it gets us to focus on ourselves rather than God. Alan Redpath reminds us of this. He says, "There is no moment so perilous as when, for the first time in his Christian life, the man of God has experienced deliverance from sin. At such times, we begin to take pride in ourselves and to boast that our own arm has saved us. We so easily imagine that because we have achieved victory once. God has imparted to us some new strength which will see us through all our earthly journey. Alas, how utterly contradictory to that truth that is. The fact is that apart from the grace of God and the blood of Jesus, the smallest temptations will be too powerful for us. The victories we win in fellowship with the risen Christ impart no strength to us. The victory you won yesterday will not bring you power today. The greatest lesson that a child of God has to learn is the lesson learned by Paul, that in my flesh dwells no good thing, and that when I am weak, then I am strong. For the greatest cause of failure in Christian living is just this, imagining that the victory God has given us has imparted strength to us to win the battle, when it has done nothing of that kind. Remember, fellow Christian, the first reason for failure at AI was self-confidence." Absolutely. And here's the thing, that self-confidence led them to do it on their own. And what did they not seek? God in prayer. They didn't go, "Lord, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to defeat the people of AI?" No mention of prayer for Joshua or the children of Israel. It's like Paul said in Galatians 3:3, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" In other words, are you going to rely on your own strength to accomplish these things or the power of God? And we do have a choice. And for us, let's face it, when we face those difficult things, those difficult situations, when things are a mess in our life, do people really have to remind us to pray? No, because everything's a mess. That's all we have. "I have nothing else, Lord. I'm coming to you." Well, I was here all the time. You could have came to me a lot earlier, but I'm still here. It's automatic. But when we come to those AIs in our life, things that are not too difficult to handle, we don't necessarily pray or seek direction from God. We tend to lean on our own understanding of the situation, and then things fall apart, they get a mess, and we wonder what on earth is going on. And as we'll see as we read on, Joshua's going to do that very thing. He's wondering, "God, what are you doing? How could you do this to us? How could you allow this to happen?" He didn't get it. And the thing is, we got to be careful. One of the dangerous areas to be is prideful. "I am so spiritual." Look out. We need to be careful and rely on the Lord for everything. And think about this. If Joshua prayed, if he called for a prayer meeting, do you think the Lord would have given him battle plans for AI? No. What would God have done? He would have said, "There's sin in the camp and you need to deal with it before you go into battle." Again, self-confidence, pride gets us into trouble. Not seeking direction from the Lord gets us in trouble. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Let's face it, don't we rely on our own understanding of situations many times? Because it seems so obvious. We look at the situation, this, so I got to do this. It's not always the answer. But did you pray about it? AI means heap or ruin, like I said. Not a big city. But if we don't seek the Lord, our lives end up becoming a ruin. They become a heap of a mess, you might say, if we don't seek direction from the Lord. You probably know this story about King Asa in the southern kingdom of Judah. He was a godly king. He was a good man. And there's an army gathering against the southern kingdom of Judah. It's a massive army. More than the southern kingdom of Judah could fight against. Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them. They were outnumbered, the children of Israel, 2-1. And in 2 Chronicles 14:11, listen to what we're told. "Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, 'Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against the multitude. O Lord, you are God. Do not let man prevail against you. You know what I like about that? Nowhere in there does it say Asa relied on his own strength, his military might. Lord, you help us. We have no strength at all. We cannot accomplish this on our own. And we're told in 2 Chronicles 14 that the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gir. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. God gives them this great victory because they trusted in him.
God's way, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.